Blog Talk Radio.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Offers require port and number not currently active on T-Mobile network. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Please send any show ideas, updates, or if you'd like to be a guest, to insightintohealing@gmail.com. And check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html for an autographed copy. Send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, tonight marks the last Insight into Healing for 2017. What an amazing, amazing year it has been. It has been such a year of growth, of support, of accomplishments, and just of healing. And I just want to start off and thank all of my listeners, all of my guests, and all of those that have made this possible. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your feedback, and thank you for your vulnerability, for sharing your stories, your inspiration, in order to heal other people. Some of our amazing guests have been Meredith Elliott Powell, Erica Walker, motivational speaker comedian Jerry Caruso, my dear friend and actor James Donnelly, my also other good friend and author and actress Nancy DeRosa, and John A. Frata, who works for helping to save Columbus Day. We also had Brianna Ward from Senior Sanctuary, which helps rescue senior dogs. What incredible, incredible work she does. She houses and fosters and takes care of so many senior animals and does their vet bills. That she's just an amazing, amazing woman. May God bless her. And Peter Wolfinger, hysterical comedian, reality star. His just everything out of his mouth is hysterical. Crystal Diane Stevens, what an incredible screenplay producer, just an incredible, incredible woman. Cannot wait to hear and see some more of her projects. And then author William Vincoli. He's a Portchester native and wrote a book, I Take the Angela, dedicated to his wife who passed away from cancer. It was just so, so moving. And one of my other most touching shows was with medium Pam Ellis. It was such a great, great show to be able to reach and speak to my father and other loved ones that had crossed over and just gain her insight and strength and healing. So what incredible, incredible year 2017 is. And let me tell you, 2018 is going to be amazing. I cannot wait. We have such an incredible lineup of guests to come from all different types of areas and expertise. I just cannot wait to also share all of my guests with the community. And also remember, please send in your questions in between now and January 3rd, 2018 will be our season premiere in 2018. Please feel free to send any questions, and I will answer them on January 3rd. Well, I wanted to go to one question I had from a listener. How do I set reasonable and achievable goals for 2018? I think this is such an incredible, incredible question. I think everybody asks it time and time again. I've also addressed these goals in my book, too, because I think so many times it's such a common struggle that we all have. And I'm really important what this person, this listener said, reasonable and achievable. And I think those are the really two key words. When you're setting goals, set goals that you're not going to fail. Don't set yourself up to lose. I think set goals that, yes, they have some challenge to them, but you can also work towards them, that you have a chance. And I think make them realistic, that they are something that you can do, that a human can do. And I know a lot of times people say, that's it, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, and I'm going to be a size 2, and this is what I'm going to do. it's not a healthy way. Unless you've been working for many, many months to a year with a nutritionist, a personal trainer, a primary care physician, these aren't huge goals that you should be taking on yourself. And when I like to say goals, reasonable and achievable, I think also I would like to think about goals in four areas: physical goals, emotional goals, spiritual goals, and verbal goals. And I think finding all those four areas of your life, you're able to feed yourself. And I think making these goals for yourself, not to be in a competition, but to have these goals as a way for you to find more peace in life, to find more joy in life. We don't want to judge ourselves. We don't want to punish ourselves or set us up to self-sabotage or failure. We want to do things to make us healthier. And I think sometimes, so many times people say, well, I have to be really hard on myself. I can't slack. You know, I'm great when someone's yelling at me. But that's not always such a healthy way to come from. I think it's coming when you get reasonable, achievable goals. When you have goals that you can actually accomplish, they're ones that sit right with your inner self. And I think that's so important. When you're making your goals for 2018, and I think goals should be made not just around New Year's. I think goals can be made all year long. I definitely make different goals, small goals in all different areas of my life as the year passes. I don't find myself at, you know, New Year's Eve saying, okay, this is my goal for 2018. I say these are goals I've been working on all year that I would like to see manifest in 2018 or keep working in that direction. I think that's such an important key to happiness, to peace, and to success, to be able to have goals that really will give you something to be proud of. And I think sometimes we have goals that reaches us to a destination or to a journey. And that's great, but you want to enjoy it to some degree, even though it will be hard work. I think you need to enjoy it or find some growth in it so you're able to use that as inspiration for yourself, but also for others. And I think that's what's so important. So for this listener, how to set reasonable and achievable goals, I would take a personal inventory of the year of 2017, pros, cons, barriers, strengths, and see which areas you would like to improve. See which areas you feel like there was blockage and what areas would definitely find some joy in. What would give you some peace? And it's not for others. It's not for others to recognize them or to look at you different. This is all about you, and it's all about your sense of self and how to make yourself at peace. And I think that's what's so important this time of the year, to be able to say, let's reflect back on the year, and let's reflect and look forward to the new year. And how can we grow ourselves? But also, how can we inspire, encourage others to grow and help them or assist them? We don't have to tell them. We don't have to figure it out for them. But how do we encourage others to find their strength, to find their healing? And I think that's so, so important. And I've noticed so much with my book, my show, and my practice. Giving back to others has been such a blessing. It's that gift that keeps on giving back, and it just keeps on going. And I think when finding someone feels that they have joy or they have peace or you see them move forward, there's no price tag on that. It really just gives you a sense of joy and what life is really about. So I would just ask all my listeners, take a look at your life. Take a look at your different goals. Take a look at the different areas: work, family, peers, loved ones, financial. And look at them and say, what would really be for me? What would give me peace? What would make me happy? Not what I should be, what looked good on paper and what everybody else wants, but really take a look at yourself as an individual, but then also for the community, for your family, for others. How can you use your story, your inspiration, to give back to others and to also heal and inspire others to start their journey? Because I find so many times taking that first step is so hard. It can be discouraging. It can be lonely. There's a lot of doubt. And I think that's normal. That's okay. But it's being able to push through it and to sit with it, to be able to say, okay, this is also part of the journey. It just doesn't go from 0 to 90. It goes these small little increments. And I think that's where you find your peace within the chaos, is those in those small increments, small, small feelings of joy, small, small feelings of peace, just bringing a smile to your space or also bringing a smile to somebody else's face. I think it's just so priceless and just so such an incredible gift you can give yourself, but you can also give to others. And a lot of my guests for 2017 have really proven that too. You know, as I spoke about Brianna Ward with Senior Sanctuary, who takes care of senior dogs that are given up by their owners. And it's just amazing the love that she gets from the dogs, but also the love she has. And I think that's something I really enjoy having these guests on my show, because I feel like that's what really the spotlight should be on, is people's goodness, people's journey, and how they move forward and how they help others. Because I think sometimes we don't realize that we're all going through something. Sometimes someone might just look really happy and everything might look perfect. But I think, you know, people make a choice to find peace in their heart. People make a choice to say, I want to try to find some happiness. Well, we've got our first caller, so hold on 1 second. Welcome, and you're on Insight into Healing season finale.
Hello, Alexa. It's Jerry Caruso. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I was actually, your ears must be ringing. I was actually doing recap of 2017, and your name came up as one of my guests that really has made a difference.
Oh, thank you so much. And they were ringing. Yes, they were.
And for, just to jog my listeners' memories, you are a comedian and a motivational speaker, and you just do such incredible work for all different types of charities, for cancer patients, for people that are suffering. That just, it's amazing the work that you do.
Oh, I just love doing it. And, like, I always look at it as, like, if I can make people laugh, I mean, it's easy to say how hard is that, but I just love doing it because I know I'm helping people, and I just recently did the Hope Lodge in Boston, which is for cancer patients. They can stay at the residence and be able to transfer back and forth to the infamous Dana-Farber Cancer Institute so that they could get their treatment, and then they go stay at Hope Lodge for nothing. So once a month, it used to be once every 3 months, now it's grown to once a month to just tell them jokes and make them laugh and make them forget about what they're going through, you know, temporarily, you know. So
yes.
It's
yes.
Love it.
It's
and I'm going back again next week. So.
Well, it just speaks volumes of your talent, of your compassion, and how you're working and touching and making a difference in these people's lives.
Yeah, there were two instances, the last two times that me and my partner in crime went, my friend Paul Durrance, and we went the first time back in the end of November, and this little Italian guy comes up to me and goes, Jenny, I come and see you every time I'm here. I go, that's nice. He goes, but I got to tell you something. Every time I go through my treatment or I don't feel good, I think about your Italian joke, and that making me feel better. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, first of all, I guess I am funny. And second of all, if it's helping him, that makes me feel like at the top of the world. You know, just knowing that, I mean, he just come out and told me, and the woman at the Hope Lodge says, that's amazing. She says, you know, that guy's a nice man, but he just had to tell you that. I go, wow. So, and then the second time that we went 2 weeks ago, one guy kept talking to us. He's from Maryland. Apparently, you know, we all know Dana-Farber is one of the leading cancer treatment centers. And he started telling us jokes. Like, he looked grumpy in the beginning, but then he's eventually laughing. And then he's telling me jokes, and I'm telling him jokes, and he's enjoying himself. And then the woman, same manager, Hope Lodge, says, she goes, this is the first time in 10 days that he's been here that he talked to me. He never talked to me. What did you guys do to him? I go, nothing. We just told jokes. She goes, I've never seen him smile, and he said good night to me, and he said thank you, and the other 9 days, he wasn't saying anything. I go, wow. So it's amazing.
Yes,
it's a gift from God. It really is.
Yes. And I think it really brings to light, too, that we don't know in our lives sometimes. Sometimes we're lucky enough and blessed enough to have someone come up and tell us how we've made a difference. But I think that's just inspiration for anybody to keep doing what they're doing. You know, just asking someone how they're doing, smiling at them, helping somebody through a difficult time. You never know what you've done. And it's not about, you know, wanting to get recognition. It's about just knowing that going out there with good intentions and trying to help people really goes a long way.
Oh, God, it really does. And I was in seventh heaven both. Like, the first night it happened toward the end of November, I was like, wow, this is great. And then we did the second show, and there was a small group of people because, you know, they're tired from their treatment, but, you know, like 8 or 10 of them hung around. Then after the show, two guys from New York, as a matter of fact, one was like upper state, and he came there for his treatment, was swapping Italian stories. I'm telling them about Italian Christmas. We had meatballs hung from the tree, and the tinsel was spaghetti. He goes, cut it out. He goes, you're hurting me. I go, no, I'm not trying to hurt you. He goes, no, that's funny. He goes, it reminds me of my heritage. He goes, and I got to connect with you on Facebook. So I haven't heard from him yet, but I'll talk to the night manager again and say, what was his name again? You know, and he wants me to come to New York and perform at his uncle's restaurant. I said, absolutely, you know.
So. Absolutely. I would definitely. I cannot wait. We still are in the works of planning something, a collaboration for us to do.
Yes, well, I think it's going to be 2018 now. But that's
yes,
okay.
Yes, but we'll, you know what? It will happen. You know, I'm so happy you called in because I've gotten so many questions from listeners, people
sure.
writing in with the same question this time of the year, and it basically has to deal with holiday blues and family. One question is, how do I deal with my toxic in-laws during the holidays? And I think if it's toxic in-laws, if it's family members or people that you have to surround yourself with, it is such a difficult time for everyone. But I think it's something that everybody goes through in life.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, toxic people, I don't like to say it, but they're all around sometimes. And, you know, how I try to deal with them is I just try to say, hey, look, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's have fun. Let's eat. Have a drink. Sit down. And let's just put our differences aside. It's so easy to try to say, but as long as you set the mood, you know that you're doing it. And you're not trying to instruct them, but you're trying to tell them, like, hey, look, you know, it's Christmas. There was a little baby born years and years ago. I think his name was Jesus, you know, and he... You know, let's just celebrate that. It's his birthday, and we get a day off from work, and we get to be with family. We get to eat. Oh, God knows, do we get to eat, especially in an Italian household. But, you know, we get to do so much. So I always tell everybody, put your differences aside. Put your politics aside. Put everything aside, because it's Christmas, you know?
I think it's so important. So many times now, as I always say, we watch on television, we look in the magazines, and everyone's how they portray what family holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, whatever it's supposed to be, where everybody's laughing and smiling and getting along. And that's, you know, there's some truth in that, but that's not what every holiday is like. That's not what families are like. People don't get along. People have disagreements. People are tired. I think that's the whole essence and beauty of family, is being able to kind of sit with each other and be able to, and not feel like, okay, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my family? Every family has some degree of dysfunction, of chaos. And unfortunately, that's life.
See, and I remember my wife for the first time came to our house, but... We were all hollering, but I tell her, you're Italian? We're Italian, too. That's how we communicate. And it was like, everybody's yelling. But we, in the end, you know, that's how we are. That's how we act to each other. But we still have fun, and we all know that it's Christmas, and it's a happy time. And with regards to holiday blues, I know that's difficult. I know it's very difficult. I've known people that go through it. But you know what I always tell people, if it's Christmas, first go to your happy place, wherever it may be, but take one and just go to church and just sit there and just absorb it all. Even if you don't say anything, just absorb the beauty, absorb the peace, absorb everybody being in a festive mood, and enjoy what God gave us. And, you know, that may help to alleviate it a little bit. And then make sure, like you probably agree, surround yourself with people that make you happy. Don't be with people that are going to make your blues go deeper and deeper and deeper. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. I think it's important because so many times, sometimes people don't really know why around this time of the year they start feeling sad, they start feeling depressed. And I find a lot of times it's the anticipation. It's the anticipation,
yep,
for this big, big day. And then, yes, sometimes it could just go okay. Sometimes it's not that good. Sometimes it's the best you ever had. But I think it's kind of afterwards, like anything, it's like, whew, you get so excited, you're running, working, buying gifts, doing everything, and then it's over. And I think that's also a side of it, too. And I know a lot of times, too, yes, it is a time to be with family, and it's also a time that brings up loss. If there's been a loss of a family member, and I work with many children and adults who've lost a family member, and they almost feel like they can't celebrate because that's dishonoring their family member. And I don't believe that at all. I think it's tradition. Maybe you won't be celebrating the same way, but it's finding a new tradition, a way of healing and moving forward. How do you feel about that?
Well, losing a member of the family, I remember when me and my brother were children, we had to be, six or seven or eight, in that range. We're a year apart, and we lost our grandfather just before Christmas. It had to be like the 22nd. So my mother, the old Italian tradition, shut off all the Christmas lights. You know, we couldn't keep one because grandpa died. And it's like, why? And we didn't understand it. I mean, it, not that we put a halt to celebrating, but my mother immediately went to the typical Italian mode. She dressed in black completely. And my dad kept saying, look, it's my father. He goes, and he'd want us to celebrate Christmas. She goes, no, we can't do that. She goes, because your grandfather died. He could have been here with us. And, you know, it's like, you know, you hate to say it was his turn to go, but he was sick. He was fighting illness. He was fighting cancer. So it was really tough. But, you know, to me, as kids, we found it hard to understand. But me and my brother made the best out of it to try to celebrate. And, you know, we'd still go to relatives' houses because, like we usually did. And we talked about losing our grandfather, but we knew that we still had to celebrate. And it was so hard to beat it into my mother because she was so Italian. And even though my father was too, you know, he understood where we were coming from, but he also understood where she was coming from. So it is difficult.
Yes, yes. And I think there's so many different layers. Also when, you know, with the holidays, if there's loss of someone who's still alive, but they have an addiction. And I think also a different type of loss of wanting them to be at that holiday dinner, Christmas Eve. Maybe, you know, feeling horrible because you can't invite them because of their past history and all of that. I think that's such a hard time of the year, too. Yes, we are supposed to forgive and move forward, but I think we also want to look at what's enabling, but also to be able to find some sort of peace with if those that have addiction, yes, it's a loss, too. But I think just having that sort of inspiration that the future, that there will be healing and growth.
Well, my wife always puts it into perspective because we know people that are dealing with, you know, drugs or had somebody on drugs. And it's almost like, unfortunately, the drugs take a hold of them and, like, you automatically lost them. Even if they're around for Christmas, it may not be them. They're another person, and they're not going to be as joyful. They're, you know, they want to get out, and we all know part of it to get out is to get their fix. And so it's almost like you already know you lost them, and it's very sad. You try to plead with them or to them. Like I remember one gal that I knew, you know, before she took. You know, she lost her life in battle to heroin, and it's like, you know, we always loved her and thought she was a great person. We always tried to encourage her, but we knew deep inside it was, unfortunately, it was her choice, and it makes it very sad, especially during Christmas. And, you know, then you got to live with it, like you said, after the loss, because, you know, but when drugs take a hold of someone, you know, it's pretty much over. And it's very sad. But again, you just try to do the best you can to celebrate the holidays in with or without them. And you always try to think, like, how they would feel, how they, if they're up in heaven looking down or wherever they are, and they turn around and say, like, geez, I want my sister, or I want my brother, or I want my aunt and uncle or my friends to celebrate, you know, because it's a happy time. I'm sure they think that. And, you know, we always have to keep that in our minds, too.
Yes, and I think you're still allowed to, and I, as I said in my book, you know, finding your pieces in the chaos, you're allowed to find joy on Christmas, to smile, to find something that really makes you laugh and not feel guilty about that. And I think that's also such an important part, no matter what is going on, that you're able to say, you know what, I also deserve and I'm entitled to feeling some peace and joy, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's also, not to get religious, but that's what God wants. I mean, he wants us to celebrate Christmas. He wants us to celebrate the true meaning behind it, you know, the birth of Jesus. And we have to, you know, it's definitely one of the days. To me, I always look at it as like there's like probably three holidays in a year you should be really happy. If you have someone, Valentine's Day is one of them, and you love them and you show your love. Christmas is definitely one of the ones where you have to celebrate, in your birthday. Those are three prominent days in your life where you should be happy. There's no reason not to be happy, and you have to, you know, you want people to be happy around you too. So if you're happy, then they're happy. I mean, me, I'm always telling jokes, but I mean, hey, that's okay. I always have a built-in audience, but you know, if I'm making people laugh, you know, then I'm doing okay, and it makes me feel good inside.
Yes. So, Jerry, before the show ends, I wanted to ask you, as I was talking before you called in, about reasonable and achievable goals or aspirations for 2018. Have you been thinking of anything of what you'd like 2018 to look like for you?
I like 2018, like one of my biggest goals is to try to get into Dana-Farber Cancer Institute to try to entertain, whether it be it may not be patients because it all depends how they feel about that, but it could be the caregivers or the staff or the volunteers. That's number one. Number two is doing a show with Alexa, one of my favorite people, and we know that's going to happen.
Yay!
And number three is try to build on doing more for veterans. I mean, I'm still doing a lot for veterans, but I want to do more. And I have two shows this month where the 19th, I'm doing the 19th and the 28th in two different towns. I'm doing appreciation, like in honor, like a comedy show in honor of local veterans, fire, police, and first responders. Two different towns right next to each other, but that's a good thing. And we're getting a lot of feedback and people who want to come to it. So those are things that I want to do and try to find a job that I like to do, you know, because I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. You know, that's one of those things.
Well, Jerry, it's always such a pleasure. I'm so happy you called in this evening for the last episode of 2017, and I cannot wait to have you back in 2018. And my aspirations is for the show to keep on growing, networking, healing, inspiration, and getting some more incredible guests, mentors, and friends as I found in you.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same. Like, I feel that, you know, and the irony of the whole thing, I'm sitting in the same high school schoolyard of the very first show that we did together because I'm getting out of work. I go, oh, I got to call Alexa. But, you know, we've grown as friends, and I can honestly say I love you as a friend because, you know, all you've done for me, but you inspire me too for all the good that you do. And I always say this, and very few people say this, always surround yourself with people who you want to be with. And you know, good things are going to happen, but also, you know, there's going to be a lot of activity. And you know, I always feel that with you, and I feel the warmth, and I think it's a great relationship that we have, and I want that to even be better next year as well. Oh,
thank
Jerry,
you
got mushy.
Thank you.
Jerry got mushy.
Thank
oh,
you
God.
So much. Thank you. And I just want to tell everyone to have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. find your peace and enjoyment, and have a very happy new year. And also, I wish and pray and bless all that 2018 is going to be such an amazing year for everyone. Again, thank you,
Amen.
Everyone, for tuning in. Amen. Have a good night, and God
you
bless.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Ho, ho.